lights out, we're underway. Motorsport Republic of Podcast.
Tommy.
Hello, James Shaw. How you going?
Episode 107. I'm not going good.
No, what's happened?
Well, I think you gave me COVID.
Yeah.
And I've been on death's door for the past 36 hours.
Well, if people were watching on YouTube last week, you would have seen James live getting COVID.
Of a live transmission. Because we filmed a live transmission of COVID.
The first.
Didn't help that you were kissing me all night.
No, God. Yeah, it was. You had a rough week, eh?
Bro, we went out for dinner on Friday night. Probably shouldn't have done that. And then I woke up. I fell asleep at like 11:30. I woke up at 11:30 the next morning. I had that 12-hour sleep. I am not exaggerating here. I woke up in like a little puddle of sweat.
Mm,
I was overheating that much. You know when you like wipe your forehead.
Oh, man, I was there.
And there was like salt in my hair.
Preaching
to the choir?
Preaching to the choir, mate. It got me good. I don't know what I caught from Thailand when I trans to you.
Excuse me?
Don't
bring that into my house.
It was a rough one. But man, I mean, it was a big weekend, wasn't it? Piastri.
Amazing.
Getting the W in the Formula One race over in China, speaking of COVID. but it's an interesting weekend. We'll dissect that because it was a bit of a boring race in the end, unfortunately. The sprint was sort of the entree to the main course, which nothing much happened. It was a bit bland, but yeah. We'll get into that shortly. But James, big announcement on today's show.
Go on.
Nemean Clothing have jumped on board with us.
So,
guys, we met Ben last Friday. He started this business himself. He's from Melbourne, Australia, and he does protective clothing. So his big thing is these leggings that we've tried and tested. They're amazing. So you wear them underneath just normal clothing. And they provide unbelievable protection. So we're a great believer in this product and we highly, highly recommend it.
Yeah, 100%. And you can wear them underneath your normal jeans, normal pants, whatever they are. So we loved hearing his story and it's really, really cool that he's jumping on board with us and, you know, obviously a lot of our listeners and the people that watch this podcast as well ride. So it's cool that you get a bit of information as well to our listeners.
Yeah, he gave us a quick rundown of the product and the testing and a few things and we were blown away and it's a really exciting new product to the market.
Yeah, so. and the motorcycle industry as in, you know, manufacturers, I guess, has been a bit stale. So to have something brand new is exciting to see.
Yeah, really exciting to see. So yeah, guys, jump on board. Nemean Clothing. Nemean.clothing is the website. So just jump on board and then have a look and see if it's a product for you because it's definitely been a product for us. So
definitely.
Now we've got F1 on today's show. Of course, we're going to jump into a little bit of pre-race for COTA as well in the MotoGP. But first things first, I want to thank everyone at home subscribing to our YouTube. We're up to about 1,400 subs, which has been awesome for us. So we really appreciate the support. We're changing things up with Patreon.
Yes.
James, can you run us through that?
Yes. So end of every month, start of each month, just depending on how the races end, we're going to do a monthly review show on Patreon. So we're going to do a review show on all the racing from MotoGP, Formula One. If you're a Patreon member, you will get guaranteed your hot takes, questions, whatever it is, to be read out on the pod on that Patreon episode. And then we're going to do a review of obviously that month's racing. You know, we're going to find out who our MVP is for the month. We won't give away too much, but it's going to be a bit more of a review monthly show for our Patreon listeners. So a bit of a revamp, which is good, and it's exciting. It's gonna be fun.
And thanks for the Patreon members staying on board for the last few months. We've just had a crazy month and a half heading overseas and everything. So really appreciate that.
100%.
All right.
Bro, Chinese Grand Prix.
Chinese Grand Prix.
It's crazy. I walked into work today and I was talking to people about F1. They're all just like, first five laps was good. Last five laps was good. Nothing else happened.
Yeah, it was just waiting for things to happen. And it was a Formula One race of old. And I'll run through the results quickly for you. Oscar Piastri, first place, which was super exciting for us as Aussies. And well done to him. Bit of a redemption from last week. Lando Norris in second. Lucky to finish after... almost a full brake failure, we found out at the end. George Russell third, Max Verstappen fourth. And this is where it got interesting. Ferrari's both disqualified. So Ocon finished in fifth for the Haas, which is an unbelievable result. Antonelli sixth, Albon seventh, Ollie Bearman, the 19-year-old from Haas, eighth, Lance Stroll, points two weeks in a row.
Your boy.
And then Carlos Sainz, first points for Williams. So
wow.
It really threw up an unusual result. So if anyone doesn't know, Charles Leclerc and Hamilton's both got disqualified at the end of the race with Pierre Gasly. So Leclerc and Gasly had underweight.
Yep.
And Hamilton, too much wear on the bottom of the car.
Scrubbing the tyres or something, wasn't it?
No. There's a plank on the bottom of the car and he's 0.5 mil. Off the allowance. So super unfortunate what happened to George Russell last year. Yes. After winning in Spa. And and I thought with Charles Leclerc, I thought, well, he had, you know, that front wing was missing. Is that part of the weight? No, they were allowed to put on the original part. He still was underweight. So big boo-boo from Ferrari. And the first ever Ferrari double disqualification on a race weekend, which was incredible. So
it's interesting that for a race that really didn't have much, there's actually a lot of talking points out of it.
Lots of talking points, and no more than Red Bull and Lawson. What's right. going on there? There's talks that, you know, he's going to be replaced by Yuki Tsunoda for Japan. I mean, giving the guy two races and almost going to be destroying a career. He's struggled. He's really struggled.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for him. He just can't get his head around his car. And the other thing is, the Racing Bull car looks like it's got pace and performance.
Mm.
Unbelievably, two weekends in a row, the Racing Bull strategist completely have muffed that, going for the two stop, which they have probably the worst strategic team in the grid. Everyone talks about Ferrari.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're fighting for wins. Where Racing Bull, time and time again, Yuki Tsunoda's up there. He's sixth or seventh or eighth, and he ends up finishing 13th. We sit here on a Monday night going, "Ah, Tsunoda, he's fluffed it again." No, it's actually by the strategist. So,
have you had like a bit of an epiphany moment that it's the strategist?
I have gone back to some old races and listened to some old things, and there's been a lot of occurrence of this, and I just couldn't believe it. Don't commit both cars to this strategy when the rest of the field are going the other way. Mm. Like, just split the strategy. You know, like, they've gone two weekends pretty much where they could have got two top sixes or two top sevens. They got no points. They're on ninth in the constructors.
Yeah.
And they've probably got the fifth fastest car.
Yeah, it's just it's wild, and it's I don't know. Like, it's interesting with Tsunoda because You feel like you can see so much potential with him, but then that happens, and it happens all the time, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Look, I mean, he still, for me, hasn't got that stardom, and he hasn't shown that. He's been in the sport for 4 years. And
4 years, is it? I actually thought it was longer than that.
And he's had a couple of fourth places. So, but the other thing is, turbulent air is becoming a massive issue again in Formula One. We saw that in the sprint race. We saw that in the main race. As soon as you got sort of within a second of the car in front, it was just destroying the tyres. They lost all their downforce. It was a really interesting thing going back to like sort of 3-4 years ago. I mean, they got these new cars with this new, you know, less aero, and it's still a massive issue. So once we've become to this peak of these rules, it seems like the turbulent air has just become a massive issue again. So,
well, I know they had a whole heap of tire trouble because they just resurfaced Shanghai as well, and it's super grainy. Because like in the main race, Lando Norris was 8 laps in. He's like, I can already feel it.
Yeah,
laps in. Man.
I know.
You know, so it's just, and then like they didn't know what Verstappen when he was 15, 16, 17, 18 laps in, if he was just conserving the tyres or he just didn't have pace.
Mm.
And then they pitted him at like lap 22 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And
they said,
all right, he just doesn't have the pace.
Yeah, it was an interesting one. And then they did 45 laps on the hard tyre.
Well, they had two sets for the weekends.
Yeah, and they weren't allowed, they can't practice them.
Yeah, and it was so true. I think it was Martin, you're fogging up hard. Martin Brundle was saying, like, there's no point going out and practice and destroying a set of tires because then you give everyone free data, which is so true.
It's so true. So it was always going to be a gamble. Yes. It was always going to look like a medium, hard strategy. And, like, to be honest with you, the Pirelli put their pre-race... their pre-race strategy that was going to be the fastest strategy.
Yeah,
and it definitely wasn't. It definitely wasn't. The one stop definitely worked, and most of the field committed to that one stop. early on after the first stop, and it seemed to work for him. And it worked for a lot of teams going down, looking at Ollie Bearman starting on the hards, then going to mediums to finish the race, past three or four cars to get up to, I think it was, 10th, and end up being 7th after the disqualification. So, yeah, it's interesting.
What about Haas? Where did they get 5th and an 8th or a 9th, did you say?
Bro, Ocon finished 7th on merit, which is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. And then obviously with the two Ferraris getting disqualified, up to 5th place.
The amount of money they would be getting.
Oh, massive.
Double points and double good points.
Double and so good for Ocon. I mean, it really came out of nowhere for me.
Bro, we were talking about Haas last week.
And what a change. What a change of
occurrence. How does that... I just don't understand how Ferrari were nowhere in Albert Park, and then bang, Hamilton goes out and wins a sprint race.
Yeah.
Which is just no one saw that coming. And then Haas was nowhere last week as well. And then bang, he gets, on merit 7th, but in 5th.
Yeah, I think for me, it was that seeing Hamilton, first of all, put on pole in the sprint and then winning it, thinking, it's going to be Ferrari weekend.
Mm.
And then qualifying, McLaren just went bang. 1 and 2. Oh, sorry, 1 and 3, I should say. And then the whole weekend turned on itself. It was similar to Qatar last year with a sprint race and the main race, two completely different race weekends. And you said to me on Saturday night, you're like, are they correlated? And I'm like,
you didn't
sometimes
know.
They do, but you just don't know. And it turned out like that. And it turned out that the McLaren just pretty much dominated
it
for the rest of the weekend.
You're right, 100%. You're right. This kind of doesn't make sense, though. And Lewis seemed like he managed his tyres amazing. It was 18 lap or whatever, it was a sprint race.
Mm.
And he seemed like he could really stretch those tyres out. And then the Ferraris just struggled for the whole...
Yeah, but again, it goes back to what I was saying. It shows when you get out in front and you have that clear air, how different your life is in the F1 race. Because Hamilton was out in the clear air, dominated the sprint. And his teammates behind him in the main race with half a front wing, and he goes, I'll let him pass. I've got no pace. What a turn of events.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
And how is Leclerc going so fast with a missing winglet? I just don't understand that.
That side plate or whatever they called it. They were talking about the aero technicians back in Maranello going, how do I justify my job now?
The little end plate disappearing, the wind was hanging down lower, and they were saying, it could mean that he goes faster because the wing's lower than the car. But at the end of the day, the car would be completely out of balance.
Yeah.
And it really shows you, he must have had some serious pace for him to go that fast in the race. Imagine if he had his front wing and it was fine. I mean, what could have happened? I mean, it was a big turn of events from him as well.
Yeah, well, he crashed into Hamilton in the first couple corners, wasn't it?
He did. Yeah, it was his fault. Mm. They've come together twice in the first two weekends now, because it was a slight touch of wings in Australia in the restart after the safety car as well. So that's going to be an interesting battle for the year.
Underperforming a little bit, Charles?
Oh, he has until then. I mean, that was he had an amazing race for put into that circumstance with half a missing wing and being behind his teammate. And then, he got caught at the end by Verstappen, probably used too much tyre because of the front wing, but... Yeah, and I think he had a great race in the end. From what, I thought his race was done after the first corner. I thought, he's finished. He's gonna be last, but he made it work in the end. So,
it's true when you talk about going back to clear air. I noted this down. Norris was 3.6 seconds behind Oscar going into one of his pit stops. Oscar went too far forward and had a 3.3 second pit stop. He got back up to 1.5 seconds. And we could have climbed into his DRS and we could have had a battle.
Yeah.
Lando pitted, did 2.2 seconds, but then just got stuck behind two drivers and went back down to 6 seconds and
And then actually
three laps.
Russell actually passed him.
Yeah.
That's the power of the undercut.
Yeah.
It's the power of the undercut. And he passed. And to his credit, he repassed Russell with not that many laps after that. And then it was just steady as you go from there.
Yeah.
So.
But it just shows how much... if you got pole position and then you just hold that first corner.
Yeah, how important it is.
It's almost like for that race, it was the race.
Yeah, I think it is an unusual circuit in the fact that, yes, it was resurfaced and it had that really rough, just tire grueling surface. And then the long radius, long corners that are on that track. I mean, it just destroys that front left because you got that first turn, which is a long radius right-hander. And then you've got turn 13 onto the back straight, which is just the same sort of corner. I mean, just does not end. And I just, imagine being on board with Lando and Norris, you know, those last five laps. He said the brake was going...
Bro, what was that?
Going along, like going to the floor. Imagine being at the end of that straight going 330 k's an hour and just not knowing what you have underneath. It was scary stuff.
So scary. And yeah, he had, like, there was basically no fear with it. He still had brake pressure, but it was right at the end.
Yeah.
And then he couldn't really use much of it. Otherwise, he's going to lose all his brakes. So he had to commit to like 330 k's or whatever is down that back straight and then gently ease it on. And that last lap, George was catching him at a rate.
Oh, I think he
was almost just ghosting around there.
Yeah, and they do get a lot of brake power from the energy recovery system, but it wouldn't do much at the end of the end of that back straight. I mean, you have to fully put the force that goes on that brake pedal is unbelievable.
So Tommy, anyway, I've been looking at getting a new helmet.
Okay, right, you are.
A replica helmet.
Okay.
So I'm looking at either like a Marc Marquez, Shoei, Rossi AGV, or controversially like a Nakagami Arai. What do you think?
Well, I think Nakagami Arai might be a bad idea because they'd have to build them strong. You know, repeat hits throughout the whole weekend.
That's right.
Where would you find something like that?
Mate, motoheaven.com.au. They have all the helmet brands that you want. They've got all the racing suits, jackets, big brands, HJC, Shoei, Dainese, Alps. Mate, they have everything. How good's that?
That is so good. And I heard like there's free delivery over $150 as well.
Free delivery over $150. Super, super fast dispatch, which is amazing all around the country. They do an excellent job. You just check out their Google reviews. It's like all five stars. It's pretty amazing. They do a great job.
Give the people the website.
Motoheaven.com.au. Check them out. They are the best in the business for all your motorcycle needs. And they've got a parts finder. You can get all the parts you want. Brake discs, chains, sprockets, spark plugs. I know that's all gobbledygook to you, Tom, but that is they are the best in the business. Head down to motoheaven.com.au and they will look after you. Is there like an emergency brake, handbrake lever or something in an F1 car?
No,
you know of?
No, there's nothing.
So if the brakes go, that's it. There's no safety net.
The brakes go.
It's got to be something.
If you take your foot off the accelerator, there'll be quite a lot of braking power from that energy recovery system.
Mm.
But there's no extra little lever that can pull. There's no eject button.
No eject button. I was going to say like a fighter jet.
And it's life or death. It really is. I mean, brake failure has got to be the scariest thing in a race car. Full stop.
Hard.
So,
switching codes for a second. Austria, the same weekend. Rossi, Vinales, and all that had that massive accident.
Mm.
Vinales had a brake failure.
Yeah.
Maybe it was a weekend after.
Yeah, because they had the double race.
He lost it.
He hopped off, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that's when it all started with Vinales.
Yeah, the blocking. but yeah, I mean, scary, scary thought. What did you think of the sprint format?
In what way?
Like, did you enjoy the weekend? Was there too much going on? Like,
there's too much going on in the fact of they need to make it like MotoGP where one qualifying sets both grids.
Yeah,
that's all they need to change, I personally think.
Yeah.
Because a sprint race, I'm all for it. And I'm all for it for like, you know, every four or five rounds, whatever it is.
Yeah, they've only got five per season.
Five per season. I'm all for that.
Yeah.
And it was cool in Shanghai that it threw up two very different results as well. But I don't think you need a sprint qualifying and a main race qualifying.
Yeah, what they used to do is have the main qualifying session and then the sprint race was then the grid for the main race.
Yeah.
And then what was happening was someone was going to the first corner, damaging their front wing, going to the back, and then starting the main race from last.
Mm.
So, and then it just wrecked the whole weekend. It's just so many ways of looking at it, isn't there? Because, for example, if you have a shit sprint qualifying, which is only after one practice session, got to remember that as well. So you got one practice session, you go straight into qualifying, and then you have a shit qualifying session, then you fuck for the whole weekend as well.
Mm.
So it's a really fine line that, and I'm not a fan of it at all. It's too much racing. I liked watching practice. I liked them easing into the weekend, especially the round two. Like you got six rookies on the grid. Now I know they're not going to change the rules because there's more rookies on the grid, but they've got 60 minutes to, first of all, we'll work out the long runs and then have qualifying runs. I mean, it's just not enough practice.
It's not enough practice. But like, I think it's just too much going on.
Yeah.
I think there's way too much going on. Honestly, you just need to make it one qualifying session.
Yeah.
No one gets hurt out of that.
Well, yeah. I mean, I even think that you could have like an hour and a half practice session at the start. And then whatever the result of that practice session, it could be your sprint race.
You just got to put in a banker at the end.
You just got to put a banker in the end, like they do in MotoGP. And then have I don't mind the qualifying session in the afternoon on a Saturday. That's fine. But I just, yeah, that sprint qualifying is just a nothingy session for me. And
nothing.
I just think it's a bit of a weird one. And I don't know, just a little bit clumsy. That's my thought.
What do you think about them taking out the fastest lap point?
Yeah, I mean, it was getting a bit ridiculous. People pitting at the end of the race to go to the fastest lap.
I like that.
It added a little bit more of a... And what they said in commentary was hilarious because the FIA get paid per points from each team. So, if you have 300 points for the year, you pay a certain amount of fees at the end of it. And they said, oh, they're actually costing themselves money because there's 24 less points each year.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not fussed either way.
I didn't mind it. It was something different.
Yeah, I mean, it added probably something a little bit more interesting race.
It was cool seeing Verstappen be like 40 seconds ahead, pit, and then do a fast. I think that's cool.
Yeah, it's...
That's called utter domination.
It's definitely utter domination. Yeah, it was interesting. Speaking of Red Bull, like the commentators were talking about like... Going back to Liam Lawson here.
Yeah, we need to talk about this.
Sacrificing the pace of the car so it'd be easier for him to drive. And I just thought that was the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. So they were pretty much saying that the car is built around Max, which it is. He's the number one guy. He's a four-time world champion. But to say, oh, let's actually make the car a little bit easier to drive so then the teammate can be up there. And I just thought it was a really interesting argument. I mean, you got to go the guy who's winning. You got to go the guy who's the world champion.
Bro, we've had this argument 1,000 times, just in a different code.
Yeah, exactly right. It's the same thing as Honda.
It's the exact same thing.
And it's interesting that nobody can do it, except for probably Ricardo and Perez for half a season. No one has been close to Max for, you know, what, the last 6 or 7 years.
All right, let's break down this losses situation, because this has been... It's been more of a talk than Piastri winning.
It's probably the biggest talking point in Formula One at the moment.
Easily. It's all over my social media. I was sending you things today which I want to talk to you about.
Yep.
You brushed it off. but I want to know.
Yeah.
I think this is a problem with Red Bull. This is a problem. Like, you need to stick it out with someone for longer than two races, and then Christian Horner's getting pressed by, is it Ted Kravitz?
Yes.
And he's like, oh, we'll look at it. Just like, back your driver.
Mm.
It's two races.
Yeah.
It's two races.
There's a lot of media pressure as well, but you're right. They're always, and that helmet Marco, as hilarious as he is, he always leaves the door open. He always does.
He's a detriment, man. I'm telling you.
He's a detriment. He's in bed with the Red Bull family, so he'll never disappear. But... Look, two rounds in, Lawson's done nothing, absolutely nothing.
Bro, okay, yes. But he came in with flying colors last year.
Mm.
He can't just lose all this talent
overnight. I know, it's a good point. Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't.
And like, we know Red Bull's maybe, what, the fourth best car at the moment?
Arguably, yeah.
Arguably.
Yep.
But you can't allegedly, my new favorite word. You can't just be either spreading these. You got to back your driver in, because you're never going to get any consistency.
I get that, but I don't. I see where you're coming from, but what I'm saying is, I think internally they probably are. It's the media that's spinning this.
Well, Christian Horner is like, we've got to have a look at it.
Mm. Well, yeah, I mean,
he's almost the face of all this.
Yeah.
He'd be like, we understand that, but we back him in.
Yeah.
We'll do everything that we can to get you up to speed.
Yeah.
He's leaving the door open as well.
Well, it was a really interesting point they made early in the weekend that Lawson did no running over the winter in any of these circuits on older Formula One cars. So
what
they,
do you mean?
They could have sent Lawson to Shanghai with a five-year-old Red Bull.
Okay.
A circuit that he's never been to.
Yeah.
And do some laps around there.
You can do that.
You can do that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You have to, the car's got to be old enough, so it's going to be a five-year-old car. They could have spent the money, and with the budget of Red Bull, they could have done it. They didn't do that.
They could easily do that.
Easily. So there's little things that they have a lot to answer for in this situation.
That's interesting.
So for me, it's... They have just gone, we're going to put you in this seat. We expect you to go well. Just be staring at Verstappen's gearbox, but then doing nothing to help.
But isn't this the same old story?
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
This is the problem, though. Like, you're going to throw Yuki Tsunoda in. He might just do the same thing.
He will just do the same thing.
Exactly. And then we're back to square one. Like,
so what do they do?
Back him.
Yeah.
Back him for two seasons. Because he's... Bro, it's like, what, his seventh race or something? Like, he's still regarded as a rookie.
It's hard, man, because this Constructors' Championship is so important.
I know, but they're not helping themselves.
Yeah, and this is how they're thinking. They're thinking that we need the guy in the points at least, and the guy's finishing 18th, 19th.
You gotta, well, it's on them.
Yeah.
It's on them. It's actually, on them. He's got the skills.
Do you reckon they're thinking they've made the wrong decision? They should have had Yuki Tsunoda in there?
Maybe. But now they got to provide all the support. And not leave these doors open for media like us or the fans. That's just got to destroy him mentally more.
Oh, he's already fucked.
But he's already destroyed. You need to pick him up. You need to lift him.
Yeah.
Because it's not working. And it hasn't worked for so long with Red Bull. Like, this has been their one curse. All good that they do, this is their one curse.
Yeah.
You know, they need to be a team. You know, look at McLaren, how team orientated they are. Obviously, they got the best car now, but even when they didn't have the best car, like, they got to be able to lift him up.
It's a good point. I agree. It's time will tell. Look, I'm so torn on this.
Well, what do you think?
Wow, he's finishing last in these races. It's not like he's finishing 10th and 11th like Perez was. He's finishing.
Where did he finish this last race?
He finished 12th, but you got to remember there was three disqualifications and three DNFs.
Don't take out the DNFs.
And Yuki Tsunoda's wing went kapow with 10 laps to go, so he had to He had to pit. So for me, it's just not good enough. Like, it really isn't.
Okay, you're right. It's not good enough. But are you saying that you would swap him out now?
No. Of course not. No. You have to give him the year.
At least, okay. So you're basically on the same side as me.
Yeah, you have to give him a year. Yeah, you have to give him a year. You got to back him in. And you're right. You don't lose talent overnight.
Bro, like, everyone knows this. Yeah. He hasn't just gone, you know, all crazy and forgotten how to drive. Like, what are we doing here?
Well, same as Perez. Perez was a star, man. Like, the guy won in a Force India and was like the tire whisperer. And now in... arguably,
shell of a man.
Well, yeah, he's out. Like, you know, I had to remind myself last week. I'm like, this guy's not even on the grid.
Yeah.
This guy is 33 years old, I'm going to say. Mm. And he's not even on the grid. He should be like prime, you know?
Mm.
Like, you got 10-year-older drivers on the grid that are racing.
Yeah.
He should be on the grid and he's gone. He's destroyed and Red Bull's another Red Bull career gone, you know? So it's the most interesting argument at the moment.
I really don't think there should be an argument, and I think they're way too cutthroat, It's not helping them in the slightest. They need to, if they pick Tsunoda or Lawson, fine, but they need to just back them in and support them through the media because they're clearly not doing that, and it doesn't work. It works with Max because he delivers.
Yeah,
but he's another stratosphere. You're not going to get another Max.
He's A+.
Exactly. Yeah. And they almost don't want that because it's just going to cause so many more dramas.
Yeah.
I know they want to drive at second or third or consistent podiums, but that's not happening. And they just need... Liam Lawson clearly has the pace to be up there. Clearly has the pace. But there's something going on, whether it's... You say it's mental. Okay, then that has to be a team environment thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Yuki Tsunoda's come out in the media and he's like, they're like, oh, would you go to Red Bull? It doesn't look like it doesn't look like the car's that any faster than what yours is. He goes, I'll be there. It's faster. It's way faster. Yeah. Of course I'll be there.
Yeah.
So he's also adding fuel to the fire, which you would.
Fair enough. Of course you would. You'd be doing that to me. I'd be doing that to you.
100%. And he would be filthy that he's not in that seat.
Of course.
Time will tell. If they dump Lawson and they put Yuki in for Japan, like, you can imagine the commotion, because obviously the Japanese driver and with the Japanese engine at the Japanese Grand Prix. But it will just destroy Liam Lawson, and he could never come back from this.
You're right. I don't think it's going to happen, and I hope it doesn't happen. But this conversation shouldn't even be on the table.
Why is he going so bad?
Liam Lawson?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, it's just...
As I said, I think it's a team environment thing. I really do.
Yeah, but like, it's the start of the season. Like, going into Australia, he qualifies 19th in the qualifying session. Like, it's so far off the pace.
It doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't.
Mm. I know it's close. It's the closest season of Formula One they're saying it's going to be in history.
You go.
You got Hülkenberg, in the points last week, and then you got Hülkenberg finishing last. Mm. I mean, it's just going to go topsy-turvy. You got Haas up the back of the grid in Australia, and then double points finish. Like, it's going to be one of those crazy years. But for me, it's he just got to lift his game. I mean, qualifying is the one thing that, they've all got the cars turned up. They've all got no issues. The cars have got all their parts on there. They're not damaged. That's where you got to show your talent, and he hasn't done it. The race, I get. If he's starting from 19th, bro, he's not getting up to fucking 5th.
Yeah.
It's too hard.
Yeah.
The last two races has been rain, and then you got the tyre wear with the turbulent air. There's no chance for him, but it's qualifying. That's the big thing.
Both those tracks, he hasn't raced there before, yeah?
Correct. And but
Japan, he knows.
So, well, he raced Super Formula for a long time, so he will know that track from like the back of his hand.
Yeah.
So if he goes into that weekend, if he's in a Formula One car, because they're already talking that Colapinto is going to be replacing Yuki Tsunoda.
Talk to me. I've been sending you stuff all day on this.
Well, I think that's crap. You can't kick the guy out after two rounds. Like, at least give him the seat.
You're right. You're 100% right. But Red Bull would do something like that.
You know, Red Bull kicked Kvyat out the race. He got a podium the race before. He got a podium. And then Max Verstappen was like the young kid, and they go, "Oh no, Max is in."
And then took his missus.
And then he won the race in Barcelona. And then took the missus.
That's crazy.
It is.
That's another level. But it's on trends. Mm. That's what the young people say.
Yeah.
It's on trends for what Red Bull would do.
Yeah.
They would do that.
Yeah. We'll see. Time will tell. I mean,
what's it paying? Or in all honesty, what's it paying that happens where they just boot Lawson, they put Tsunoda into Red Bull, and they put Colapinto into the Toro Rosso?
It's 100-1. It's not going to happen. It won't happen. Nah, don't look at me like
breaking
that.
News.
Nah.
I keep saying breaking news.
Nah.
An Argentinian mate with German heritage.
Yeah. He's well-liked, Colapinto in the paddock. Really well-liked. But, and they're always...
He'd be pushing for it.
Oh, of course.
He'd rather be that, got, that than the LP.
He's got the money as well. Like, the thing is with Racing Point, there could be a thing where Colapinto said, "Well, I'm going to come to your team and I'll have a sponsor and they'll pay $5 million." Where Liam Lawson he's coming from the factory team with down on confidence, not bringing anything with him. That's where it could happen. But man, Red Bull, they're not going to dump him after two races. It can't happen. I'm telling you. You can't give the guy two races.
You know how you're talking to me right now? I'm not believing a word you're saying.
God, really?
Yeah, you're saying this with a massive smile on your face.
No, bro, I'm telling you.
Look at you, you're laughing.
They cannot. No, because if it does happen, it'll be so crazy.
But like, the more we talk about it, the more I think this could happen now. Nah. Just because of Red Bull's history.
Nah, there's no way. There's no way. You can't give the young kid two rounds. Like, that's like Red Bull cutthroat on steroids. Like, how about Marco's like popping the bloody test?
Well, when they get older, they get a bit crazier.
He's crazy. Crazy good, though. I like Helmut, but he just says some crazy stuff.
Too cutthroat for me. For me, though, this story is one of the most interesting stories I'm following in motorsport.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Because it's very unique, and it's very unique to Red Bull.
Yeah.
But it's just so, for me, crazy that there's not backing this guy. My biggest gripe is just that there's not backing this guy. You've got him as your main, you know, in your main team. Just back him in through the media. You can, I guess, you can almost say what you want to a degree behind closed doors, but through the media, you have to just completely back him in.
Mm. Yeah, it's a, and I agree wholeheartedly. It's just how they are. It's the
it doesn't work, man. It doesn't work.
It's the old thing with Formula One. They go, well, you're here. This is the pinnacle of motorsport. You're here right now. You've worked your whole life to get here. You have to do the job. There's no babying in this Red Bull team. There is. If you were going to sign you, we're going to pay you the money. You do the job. If you don't do it, you're out. And that's where they've been their whole time they've been in the sport.
So. Yeah, but I just don't think that works. Like, I understand they've had Max and they've had Vettel. I get it. But it's clearly never worked for their second driver.
Yeah.
And you can't rely on Max for the rest of your life either. Because what happens when he leaves?
Oh, well, that's the thing. I mean,
they're so fucked.
Yeah. They're talking
that, and they can't have that attitude then.
Well, they're talking if the car isn't going to perform this year, Max could just go and they're going to have no options at all.
Performance clause?
Well, who knows? I mean, there could be anything like that in his. He'd have the contract written around him. It wouldn't be the other way around. So,
if you're someone like him, definitely.
So, who knows what's going to happen? And that's going to be their downfall because they haven't got that solid second driver. They could possibly get a Lando Norris, but who knows how he's going to go in this car if it's undrivable? If it's so far. The thing is, Max Verstappen loves a pointy car. So, really, really, a lot of point into the corner with a lot of oversteer. That's how he likes to drive. And not a lot of drivers can handle that. Like an Albon, very smooth, didn't like it. Gasly was the same. Perez was the same as well. Very smooth driver. So completely different ways of doing it. So it's going to be their downfall. It's going to be their upfall of winning the last four championships. But in the long run, they're in a world of hurt.
It smells like Repsol Honda.
It does. Yeah, it's a similar thing. It's exactly right.
It's weird. Max Verstappen. So what are we thinking? How are you tracking his season so far with Red Bull? Obviously, he's at a third and a fourth.
Yeah, right? Man. I said this last year. It's going to really hurt not having Adrian Newey there because the development of this car isn't going to... This guy's a genius. Like,
clearly.
He is a genius. And it's not just creating a car for the year. It's developing the car for the year.
And throughout the year.
Throughout the year, yeah. You've got new wings, new side pods, new rear wings, you know, DRS systems, all these things that he would have designed over the years that got them faster and faster and faster. I mean, you looked at 2021, he was controlling that season. And then the last five rounds, Mercedes came with his upgrade package and nearly stole the championship. People see it the other way, you know, that year that Max stole the championship of Hamilton. But Max had an outstanding year. He deserved that championship. It was those last rounds that Mercedes came flying back. But for me, he's there or thereabouts, and I think he'll get a few wins in the wet and, you know, those Monaco, those sort of tracks. But, man, that McLaren, and I've said it all year, is 2 to 3 tenths of a lap faster than anything else on the grid.
They are another level, especially as we saw that in the dry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They are another level. Reliability might be a thing with this interesting that little brake issue they had. But other than that, they've been outstanding. And they know that. Like watching Andreas Staller and after his talking about it, he goes, We've got the car, we've got the pace, you know. We just have to control the drivers and have a good qualifying session and we're gonna be in the chance of winning every race. So
if I was playing poker, I would love to play against Lando Norris. Because he can't hide his emotions. you'd be terrible against Oscar. But Lando, he finished second and you could just... everything he was saying was, you know, I'm happy for Oscar. It's good just to get second. But his eyes and all his other expressions were like, I hate this. Yeah, I don't want to be losing to my teammate. It was just very funny noticing that.
Yeah, it's funny because he's like... He comes in for a photo. He's like this. And then the photo goes and goes... Yeah. He's like back to that.
Yeah.
You know, if he was generally happy, it wouldn't be like that.
He wasn't happy.
No.
Which is good because he obviously wants to win the title and this is his year.
Oh, it's his
this is his year.
If you've got one chance in life, this is it.
Yeah.
This is it. So
and now he's got to fight his teammate who Oscar seems like you cannot rattle him whatsoever.
And the other thing is how important that spin was for Oscar last week, and he's going to be on the back foot now for the start of the season. He was 23 points behind going into the into this weekend. So that's going to be a really important... I know it's a long season, 24 races, four more sprints as well. There's a lot of points on offer, but if these guys are going to be neck and neck all year, it's going to be a really hard slog from now on. But let's see what happens.
I think the racing gods, you owe them one DNF every year.
Yeah.
There's always one DNF. I think Oscar's paid his due.
Yeah.
First round of the Aussie curse. Yeah. And I think Lando is going to get... Everyone does. Like, everyone has a DNF.
You got 2019 MotoGP season, Mark Marquez. Yeah. Bloody destroyed on the comments last week.
Absolutely destroyed.
T-Shabs was right.
Yeah, you're right.
I had to question myself. I couldn't bloody believe it.
Yeah, that's... I messed up.
Coda, he did crash, though. It must have been 2018.
Yeah.
Philip Wiley did crash. It must be 2018.
I'm confused now. It was one of them, yeah.
Yeah.
But you definitely owe a crash, that's for sure.
No, that's a great point, and it's happened over many a year.
It might not be his fault either.
No, it could be a mechanical.
Yeah.
It could be a mechanical. So
someone can run up his ass or something. Who knows? Turn one incident.
I mean, you looked at the two Ferraris this week. I mean, it was just... That could have ended in a double DNF. That impact of on even Hamilton's rear wheel.
Yeah.
Like, that's... We've seen so many instances over the years that were in half an impact that resulted in a...
100%.
You know... In a puncture, so...
I know, he's got to sneeze on a tyre these days and then puncture.
But yeah, disappointing race. I had high hopes. High hopes for a really good race, a lot of tyre wear. But yeah, it just ended up being 10 degrees cooler than what they thought. The tyres hang on for that little bit longer. And then was just second guessing. And then it came over the radio, like, could be rain in the last three laps. And then in the back of your head, you're like, oh, is the rain coming?
It never comes. That's a CT, mate. It's a CT. That's cock tease.
I thought it was the brain injury.
CT scan.
CT scan. But yeah, I mean, it's Piastri, amazing. Bierman probably should have got driver of the day. Antonelli got driver of the day, which I didn't understand.
He started ninth, finished ninth or something like that?
Yeah, like just a normal race. I'm not sure what happened there. Haas, an amazing weekend all up. And it's so weird. Like, everyone's getting points. Like, you got Haas getting points. You had Sauber last week getting points. So it's all going to be topsy-turvy over the
Williams.
Next. Williams got Albon in the points, and Sainz got his first point for Williams. So
that's good. That's good to see.
Yeah. You know, it was really interesting. I was watching Ted's notebook, which was post-race. He does it. And then halfway through the notebook, he found out about the disqualification. So that was a whole thing. But freight, so interesting.
Talk to me.
So
this is when you know you're over 30 years old.
They've got... I don't know if anyone actually knows this. They've got freight, air freight, and also sea freight that meets them at all circuits. There was freight that was sitting there that was being sent to Singapore, and they're going to have it for the Singapore Grand Prix. So it was like tables and chairs, and there was another bit of freight from the same team going to Miami, which is in like four races time. And that was going to do all the American rounds. Imagine the organization you would have to have.
They were sending it off to say that same weekend. So they had one to Singapore and one to Miami.
They had it for Australia, then they had it for
China.
And then all the freight got split apart into different parts of the world and sat there and waited for them to get there.
Like HOSPO stuff or something.
Yeah. And they already had freight in Miami already. They already got freight in Singapore, and they do the Asian rounds, some do the American rounds. The organization that And like that was for one team.
Oh, really?
That was just for like Mercedes. That was the Mercedes. I said it was like sea freight, Miami, and it was going off to Miami tomorrow. And then there was like air freight was going to Singapore the next day. Like,
so does that mean then like someone's sole job in Mercedes, or maybe a team sole job in Mercedes, will just be organizing freight?
100%.
Right.
And like the thing is as well, what was crazy for me was like the organization that would have had to take for that to all work. And like, I never knew that. I just thought all the freight went with them to each race. And like, I guess like they're going to Japan in 2 weeks. So I'm guessing everything would just be sent to Japan. They'll go back to Europe and then meet in Japan. But yeah, it goes everywhere all year. It's just chopping and changing. And
the organization.
Yeah. It was just a really interesting thing. You're right. It's a bit of an over 30 thing to be interested in. But
It is interesting.
Fascinating.
Yeah, it is.
Really fascinating. So DHL is the freight transporter for Formula One, and they must have an unbelievable job.
How's the account for them?
Yeah, oh, I mean, a lot of money. God, lots of money.
They would have fought
But
for
I'm
that.
Assuming it might be the same for MotoGP. I mean, I think that, like, what was interesting, what they actually had written on the side of this freight container was like 3D printer, 30 chairs, 4 tables. You know, it was really, it was fascinating. So
it's amazing how things don't get like damaged in freight. Like when they send the cars, is that air or is that?
Have to be air, you'd have to say, because it
boat.
It'd have to be air because it just wouldn't be quick enough for a boat, would it?
Chuck
it
on one of them PP Island boats, speedboat across the Pacific.
Jimmy, let's talk protection, because what you wear actually matters in a crash. Nemium armored leggings have a 3-star impact protection, 4-star comfort, and the thinnest CE level 2 armor available. More protection, less bulk.
Tommy, one of the many reasons I love this product is because of the comfort. You can wear these Nemium leggings underneath like your jeans, your normal chino pants, mate. When I'm riding, I don't want to be dressed up like a stiff motorcycle rider wearing leather everywhere. I want to be wearing my normal jeans, getting a coffee, whatever, looking cool. I love how these leggings just go under everything seamlessly. And so you just fit in with the normal crowd.
I mean, there's no overheating. There's no stiffness. And look, we really believe in this product.
Yep.
It's MotoCap tested. It's proven to have a 5.42 second slide time. These things are very, very hard to get in this industry. Serious riders wear Nemium. Upgrade your ride at Nemium.clothing.
I love it. And use code NEMIUMREPUBLICA for 10% off.
Now back to the podcast. I'm having a general conversation with you, right?
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
There was a speedboat in Bali 2 days ago that capsized, killed an Australian person.
No.
Yes. Yeah. Had anyone's? Everyone was sitting on the. So to give you a bit of context, James and I were in Thailand. We did a PP Island tour. And like
terrible.
James, I said this boat's crashing. Like we're gone.
Nah. Well, let's give a listener the full backstory for this because we're both sick.
Yeah.
I wake up. I diarrhea. We get there, I diarrhea again.
Yeah, we should have pulled the pin.
We should have pulled the pin.
I was doing this for James as well. I'm like, oh, I really want to see James. I could have pulled the pin like that.
You guys should have.
Could have called Sanjay and he could have picked us back up. We would have had a good day.
Son.
We could have had a nice, simple day. No, we're stuck on a boat with bloody...
With diarrhea.
Diarrhea.
I had to make the decision, do I get on this boat and maybe shit myself or not? We get on.
Give you a bit of context as well. When I went to ask the lady, so for James, I went and asked the lady, is there a toilet on board? And she said to me, she goes, yes, but you don't want to use it. And I came back and I said to you, yep, toilet on board. Because the boat was like this. Imagine being on the toilet.
Bro, you had it was impossible.
Yeah.
There was a massive storm in Thailand like the day before.
Yep.
So the water was super choppy. We get on this boat. There's this like lovely other... Portuguese people, Japanese, really nice Japanese people.
Very easy.
Yeah.
Like, easy to get along with.
Yeah. And then there was these other people that weren't good. Worst type of tourists you'll ever see.
From the South continent, yeah, we'll just say that.
Absolutely ruined the whole experience. Anyway, and then I'm trying not to shit myself the whole time. And the speedboat was just, I've got PTSD from that.
I don't think I'll ever be able to get it on a boat again.
It was just too rough. It was just... And then what was worse, I guess, was going into
Maya Bay,
and it was just fucking people.
Yeah,
it was just
like, I'm talking, the thing was like...
Oh, that's right. Docking onto that like floating dock was terrible, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was horrible. But I don't want to talk about it. I feel sick.
I know, I feel sick. Oh, that's why I was watching Kurt Kaz, that vlogger, yesterday, and he was on a speedboat in Colombia. Oh. I literally felt sick.
Vomit.
Going on. So like, I'm never... ever doing that again.
No.
Unless it's like a private tour or like, you know, we've got beers or like a party, like it's like chicks our age on there, stuff like that.
No South continent.
You know, got cool people. Yeah.
Except Papa can be there. It's cold.
Yeah. That's the it's all about obviously the people who you're with as well, but that was a shit show, man. I still feel sick from it.
Mm. All right, back on due course.
I'm like passing out right now.
Yeah, I'm feeling sick. I'm
like when someone says like the rice fields and they have flashbacks to Vietnam. It was a diarrhea.
You got
for
any
me.
Questions for me?
Well, the main thing I wanted to talk to you was was Lawson.
Yeah.
But Oscar.
Yep.
How far can he go? Because he's looking the goods.
Oh, God. He's just so calm, isn't he? He's just so calm and calculated. And he's a world champion in the making, definitely. Can he do it this year? He was my pick.
Yeah.
He's my pick. I think he can hold it together. And I think Lando, he's made a couple of mistakes on the weekend in qualifying. And for me, it can all fall apart for him, where I think even if it falls apart for Piastri, he just comes back the next week and he's just got a clear head.
Well, it's exactly what I was about to say, is Lando seems to be more mentally fragile, where Piastri, no matter what you throw at him, he'll just move on. Next.
Yeah, next. And it's an amazing trait to have. And I said this last week to you. I said, I'm jealous. You know, I wish I was like that. Having that, you know, that's just so calm and nothing fazes him. Credit to his parents. I mean, it's hilarious because his mum is this lovely lady who's a bit crazy on the Twitter and says some funny stuff, and she's out there loud, and he's just this quiet, you know, calm and collective. His dad owns a car tuning business called HP Tuners, it's called. So very successful business that tunes, you know, luxury cars.
Shout out.
The reason why he's there, obviously, because obviously a wealthy family and everything like that. But yeah, it's just an interesting young guy. He's not going to have a huge, like, we love him and as Aussies, but he hasn't got that, you know, that nature where you're going to get obsessed with him, I suppose, you know.
Well, I don't know if I agree with that, because as Aussies, we're used to, I guess, very outgoing people, you know, Ricardo doing shoeys or you know.
Weber sort of had his heart on his sleeve.
A little bit.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. And then, you know, you see like Chad Reed, he always had his heart on his sleeve. Jet Lawrence is pretty out there in the motocross. Will Power, the same thing. I'm sure we're missing heaps of people. Like Casey Stoner was a little bit, I wouldn't say he was probably more mentally fragile.
Yeah.
He wasn't like Oscar, but he wasn't like a big, you know, look at me type of person as well, where normally, you know, Aussies are just like brash.
Yeah.
Toby Price type of thing. So with Oscar, he's his own personality. And I actually think people are really clinging on to that more than what you think.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
But maybe I'm only seeing this as an Aussie's perspective. And like, I don't know what his fan base is like outside of Australia, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. Like, you look at Max Verstappen, his personality is so brash.
Yeah.
And so not warm. He's not a warm person at all.
No.
He's cold as ice. And obviously overseas, he's got a phenomenal fan base from Netherlands. But then you look at like personalities. You look at Valentino Rossi. He's going to have fans in every country because of his personality and how he went about it and his charisma, where someone like Piastri doesn't have that.
No.
So it's going to be it's just a different style of human being he is. So.
You're right, but I think Piastri's personality suits the modern day Formula One fan.
Yeah.
And I think that's why they like him.
Yeah. Well, that's true. It's a good point.
He's just like quirky and dorky, and it's one word answers, but the dude's like doesn't care what anyone thinks.
And he's so dorky.
He's just beats to his own drum.
I'm envious. I really am. To be that calm and to do that, to do this sport is just incredible. To be honest with you, like, there hasn't really been anyone like him. Like, you looked at a Kimi Raikkonen, for instance, who showed personality but was cold, but still completely different because he sort of
got angry.
Oh, yeah, he got angry, but he never felt like he wanted to be there.
Mm.
Like, it was just a hobby for him. Well, Piastri wants to be there, he loves it, but he just doesn't. Yeah, he just doesn't get excited or get sad or anything. Like, yeah, it's just interesting. Yeah, it's just a different personality trait, isn't it?
So. I think it works. I think, I don't know if he's going to be the big megastar, but I think he's just different. And I think that works for the new F1 fan.
Mm.
That's all it is. And I think he's going to go far.
Yeah.
In the car he's in right now and how unfazed he's still getting. Like, who knows? Maybe when you get closer to winning a title, it might all unravel. Like, you know, there's no pressure on him.
Mm. Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, he's in such a good spot right now.
Yeah, but it's a really interesting point. Let's see, like, comes down to the last round. There's 10-point gap. You know, I see him going for the move. I do see him going for the move. And he showed that in Monza last year when he passed, you know, Lando around the outside. He went for it.
That's the Lando's downfall.
Well, that was almost a turning point in Piastri's career. Yeah. That move.
Yeah, I loved it.
I'm gonna go for it. I mean, that could be the difference between, you know, Lando's gonna second guess everything now going into that first corner or second corner. You know, it just changes everything. It's like in the sprint race when Hamilton lined up against Verstappen, and I'm thinking to myself, all Hamilton has in his mind right now is Verstappen going up the inside. If he has George Russell there, if he has...
Laughable.
Yeah, like, he goes, oh, I'll just pass him on the outside, it'll be easy. He's like, it's just going to be self-confidence. And everyone would feel the same. Obviously, he got a better start and passed around the outside, but Max has that reputation.
Yeah.
And everyone would second guess or leave a gap or that sort of thing. And that's the big difference.
Massive difference. That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah. Really, it's funny how in these things, like, you remember throughout the weekend, because I was thinking to myself, all Hamilton's thinking, he's not thinking about his behind, as in directly behind. He's thinking about Verstappen, all he's thinking about.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a great point.
And I would be the same if I was in that position.
Definitely.
Which I'll never be, unfortunately.
Maybe on like steam body weight. F1 racing. Body weight. We'll get you in one of them Lycra suits, we'll cover you in butter and slip you into an F1 cockpit. And cook you up.
I wonder if I'd be able to fit in a Formula... I don't think I would be able to fit in a Formula 1 cockpit.
I think I would struggle.
Yeah.
I think you would be pretty...
It's amazing they have padding on their knees because there's so much pressure that goes onto the knees. They've got in where they take out that little piece to get in out of the car, they cut out a little piece here so your knuckles can turn the wheel. It's amazing.
It's built for them, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's so safe. I mean... You know, talk about two deaths in 30 years. It's three deaths, I should say. It's still pretty amazing what they can do, you know.
Yeah, at the speeds they are.
At the speeds they go, so.
Bro, Coda, MotoGP preview.
Yes. Well, all everyone is talking about is Marc Marquez and just dominating and how he's just going to dominate the whole season.
Yeah.
And I think we've got to say to everyone at home, look, it's his favorite track. We've got to expect the same this weekend, I think. Yeah. But I think we'll find out. But anyway, going back to Qatar, everyone's telling us that Marquez loves Qatar. What's going on?
Nah, he's not a massive fan of it. I know he's not a massive fan of it.
And I'm under the same impression as you. I don't remember him having amazing results there. I know it's always been the first race of the season.
He was like podium, but he's not really winning. He lost to Dovi a couple of times.
Yeah, on the last lap and all that kind of stuff. He hasn't dominated there like he has in Coda before. So
absolutely not.
You've got to remember, like, this track, it's his baby, you know?
So. But it's always been a Ducati track and he's never been on a Ducati.
Jesus. So what's he winning by? Is he winning by 10 plus seconds?
At Coda?
Yeah. Or is he toing and froing with Alex again? Imagine if we have the same race. Could you imagine if we have exactly the same race 3 weekends in a row?
That'd be crazy.
Whereas those two up front, he lets him through.
Maybe.
It could happen. I think it would be a real detriment to him if he did that though again. I think it would be like a turning point for a lot of people going, nah, this is crap. Stop doing this shit.
Oh, like the thing is
for the average fan, I'm saying. Yeah. Not for us. I'm saying the average fan.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, but like, you know, this is just what happens of racing.
Yeah.
Look at Hamilton. Won for so many years. Yeah. Rossi did the same thing. Marquez has done it and keeps doing it.
Yeah.
Just, it is what it is.
Maybe it's just me who gets... I hate the toying... for me, it's just like, I wish he just went out. I'd rather him go out and just win by 20 seconds.
Well, I don't know. We don't know if he's doing that or what. Well, I was talking to Adrian Chat at Motor Heaven today, and he's like, yeah, he's toying with him.
Yeah,
100% he's toying with him.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, look, he's going to win. Like, we know that. We know he's going to win. And I don't know with Alex Marquez. I will never know with Alex Marquez.
Mm,
you know, he's too much of a yo-yo. If he's up there in Coda and Qatar, then okay, he's probably going to be good for Europe. But I still don't know. I still don't trust it.
Tips from second to fifth are going to be hard this week.
I don't think Bagnaia is going to podium. I think he's... The more that keeps coming out about Bagnaia, the more it doesn't sound great. And I know we're only two rounds in.
Yeah.
Get him out. Get him out of Ducati.
Put him on a Honda. Put him on a Honda.
But
That photo of him in the Grassiti outfit, fuck, that was so funny. They came out round one. They came out after Tyler, that photo.
That came out like 3 hours after the race. It was ridiculous. But what I'm saying is, no, Bagnaia just seems like it's the pressure's getting to him from the outside.
Mm.
He wants to go back to the 24. It just...
yeah.
It's just not the start that he's definitely needed or wanted.
Well, that's you know he's mentally cooked if he's saying that. I want to go back to the 24.
I don't get that because there's only so much they can do with the 24.
That's just an excuse. That is just a simple shit excuse that he's using.
You got to be on the latest bike.
You got to be on the latest bike, regardless of if you think it's the other one's faster or not. You have to just keep pushing forward.
And you can't say that the bike was built around Marc Márquez because he's only been riding it for a testing and a couple of races.
Yeah. Well, bro, you know what? It goes back to if Marc Márquez was on this Ducati the last 2 years, Bagnaia would not have been a two-time world champion.
I know. It's
sorry. I mean, sorry, I shouldn't say that. Martin and Bagnaia shouldn't be one-time world champions for the last 2 years. But yeah, it's an interesting. I think we're going to have much the same this weekend. I think Márquez is going to dominate. And I said this to my mate Pete through the week. I said, Pete, stop complaining about it. You just got to appreciate it.
You're witnessing history.
You're witnessing greatness. This guy on this bike after the unbelievable injuries he's been through over the last 4 years. You just got to... And if I'm the same, I'm thinking, I really want to see a good race for the lead. But sometimes you just got to sit back and go, this guy signed for this team and he's dominating and he's showing everyone he's been the best in the world and he's the best ever. And you just have to appreciate it.
And he's never lost it.
No, God, no.
He never
lost it. After everything he's been through... And like what you said with Scott Redding, he goes, there's only, you know, two riders in the world would ride through a brick wall. And one of them is Marc Márquez, you know.
100%. And you know with Marc Márquez, he's got two clear motives on why he's back. It's to be world champion again and to beat Valentino Rossi's title. We all know that's what he wants to do. We all know.
I saw a video during the week and of him, I think it was in his Moto2 days and it was at his house. And he had the Valentino Rossi model bikes on his little, above his bed or wherever it was. God, it's just amazing. He's come into this sport. And then they had their feud and now he's, you know, talking GOAT status now. You have to, you know, it's in the conversation, of course. I mean, for what he's done in these last two races, just been incredible. We haven't seen this kind of domination in the last 2 to 3 years.
We haven't seen his domination since Márquez was dominating back in 2019.
Yeah, like Bagnaia just, he's unbelievably talented, but doesn't have the ability to do what Márquez has done the last two rounds.
No one on that grid does. And like you can't put the blame on Bagnaia or anyone. It's just Marc Márquez is just, he's
gotta
just. Accept it.
You got to take your two championships that you have, Bagnaia, put them in your back pocket and go, at least I have them forever because I might not get one again.
It's so crazy that we're saying this. Two rounds in. It's so crazy. But like, I can't see.
Side on me.
I just can't see. I can't see any change.
No.
Anytime soon. Like Jerez, right? We go into Jerez and... you know, 2-3 rounds. He almost beat Bagnaia last year.
Mm.
Bagnaia got him right at the death.
Yeah.
On the third race or whatever it was for him on the Ducati.
Mm.
Like he guitar's gonna be the one for me to really watch.
Yeah. Call it early.
What would you do if he wins the first 10?
I was just about to say, where does it stop?
If he wins Qatar, then I don't know when it stops. Yeah. That's for me, that's the barometer.
Yeah.
Because I think it's a shoe-in for Coda. That's his track.
Yeah, it's a shoe-in.
Obviously, in
whatever he's paying, if it's paying over 2-1, you plant some serious coin on that. Tommy's tips, mate.
That's terrifying.
Put your house deposit on there. If you save it for a ring, for the business, you put that on there as well. Keep punting.
What got me was the wink. It really reassured me.
Oh God. Good things happen to bad people.
8 in the fucking morning. You're a degenerate of a man. Shit. So, look, I don't want to keep harping
on
about it.
Yeah, we have just harped on 10 minutes about how good Marquez is.
But, bro, this is just... I don't know what else you can say. And
Sepsi's not happy at the moment, I don't think.
He's rage quitted.
He's rage quitting.
Like every other Italian MotoGP fan, unfortunately.
Yeah, he's getting the tequila shots out to just a somber time at the Sepsi household.
Okay, let me ask you this question. Who's the most nationality? Who's the most fair weather MotoGP fans? And who's the most hard-nosed MotoGP fans? So who's like the ones that will walk away when their countryman isn't doing well, and who's the ones that always stay? Because I've got my answer.
Well, the Italians, haven't got a good track record.
No, they don't.
Because they've walked away from the sport after after Rossi's gone. They've walked away from the sport.
Yeah.
Damiano Garopoli, the biggest Rossi fan in history, doesn't even watch it. Oh, was MotoGP on this weekend? He said that to you.
Yeah, he did.
He didn't even know. No. He did not even know.
We even got him on the podcast to talk about how big of a fan he was.
He crumbled. Remember that? You buy the Feta when it's already crumbled at the shops? That was fucking Damo that night. I love you, Damo. I don't know, James. All right, you tell me what you think.
I think Italy is.
Yeah, so they walk away when there's no...
Clearly, once Rossi left.
Yeah.
And then I think the ones that are the strongest fans are the French.
Yeah, okay.
They've always put on a good Grand Prix.
Yeah.
And they're amazing in like the different events, like the Le Mans 24 Hours and stuff. But I think the French are the
crowds always turn out.
They always turn out. Yeah. And like the French, it's not even like, you know, Quartararo is their first French champion in how long? Like it's not like they're the Spanish or the Italians that have had all this success, but they're always still there. And
it's a great point. I think the Aussie fans as well, I mean,
we just don't get the turnout.
We don't get anywhere near the turnout. And the Stoner days were amazing down at the island, you know, winning on his birthday championships, all that kind of stuff. Still get a great turnout. We've always consistently had an Aussie there.
Yeah. But we haven't had the turnouts like the Stoner days either. So we're a little bit fair weather. If I'm going to...
Yeah. Yeah, we
not, are. Not Mugello 2022, though, when there was literally no one there.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's true.
Bro, there was no one on those hills.
Yeah. Gone from the days where you couldn't get a ticket. It was like, but you know, Curtis had a good point with this. They put the prices up massively.
Yeah, I've heard that.
So they've gone greedy, and that happens. It's happened it's happened in Formula One over the last couple of years. That the cheapest ticket's actually China that last weekend. It was £160, I think, for a 3-day ticket. But people paying in Australia, people paying $1,000 for a grandstand ticket for 3 days is crazy money. A lot of cash, isn't it?
100%. And if we quickly spoke about F1, I would say Italy is the hard-nosed fans.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that's only because
Ferrari's always there.
They're always there, and they're always teasing them, and then they always get let down.
Yeah, but Ferrari. Well, Leclerc did win last year in a Ferrari there.
At Monza,
yeah. But you're right. They are always there, and it's a phenomenal thing. But I think it is different. They go for the team. Like, I can't believe how they've got around Hamilton.
Yeah, you didn't call that.
Nah, God, the fans are everywhere for Hamilton.
Well, let's see what Monza looks like.
Yeah.
You can't judge Australia,
no,
which is 16-year-old girls, and the Chinese Communist Party.
CCP.
Xi Jinping.
Hey, too busy. You're right. He can't be seen to be having fun.
He can't be having fun. But you know that Vladimir Putin gave the trophies in the Russian Grand Prix.
Yeah, Hamilton sprayed him with champagne. They got in trouble for it.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
They gave him a pre-COVID vaccine that day and really messed him up. That's why he's got all that woke bullshit now.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, there's a conspiracy there. Like the pyramids right now.
Oh, I know.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
2 kilometers deep.
I know. Jeez.
Through
hard rock they're digging through.
Yeah, yeah. Slaves did that, mate. Slaves did that, you fucking idiots.
All right. World famous. Hot takes. Give it to me.
Yeah, you cut me. You're lucky you cut me off of the listeners there.
No, because we've got to build tension for the History Republica coming up shortly.
That'll be dribble. You'd have to give me some weed or something. I'll really get you going. at holly.sharp93. Now, shout out to a lot of for some reason we must have just hit an algorithm of female fan base because
it's a couple of good looking lads. I mean, it's fair enough, isn't it?
Lads.
Yeah, talk about us too.
Oh, how dare you assume my gender? it's good to see.
Yeah,
thank
really
you,
good.
Thank you for listening.
And we really do putting our putting our support behind female motorcyclists. You know, Taylor Ralph and
Tara Morrison.
Tara Morrison. So we're big fans of inclusivity is where is the word.
Yeah, I'm all about it.
All about it. So
it's really good. At holly.sharp93, Phillip Island should be changed to be a better date so it's not freezing cold.
Yeah, there's a couple of points with that. You can't bring it to Feb because it's too close to the Australian F1 Grand Prix. They've tried that in the past from all reports, but it has been rejected. You can't bring it into later in the year because then they're always finishing in Valencia.
Could you change it to the second last round? Valencia is now mid-November.
Yeah, but it's the 20th of October anyway. So, like, what do you change it to the 7th of November?
Good day.
Is it really going to...
You know what? Yeah, it does make a difference in Phillip Islands and Melbourne. Yeah, 2 weeks makes a massive difference.
You know, it was incredible. We're in Melbourne for Superbikes.
Gone.
3 weeks later, we come back from our trip in Thailand.
Gone.
The weather is completely different.
Completely different.
It is unbelievable. We're getting hot days every day, mild days to like freezing mornings. It has changed so much in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, so it makes a huge difference, I'm telling you. And maybe...
What's the second last race of the year? It's usually...
like Sepang?
Yeah.
It's only Sepang.
Yeah, but
Sepang's, or like Indonesia or
Sepang's
something.
Sepang's also got issues with their... It's not the tsunami. What's that called? Wrong country. They got bloody... At 6 p.m. every night, they have like monsoons.
Yeah, they do.
They have their monsoon season. So that's also a fickle time for them. So it's a very, very hard question to answer. And look,
it is.
I'm telling you, if MotoGP was in February when Superbike's on, it would be a blast, man. Like a blast. It'd be amazing. I would love it, but... It is what it is. I mean, the thing is as well, you got to look at, if we put Superbikes where MotoGP time is, their crowd would go from dribble to like, ASBK spec. Like, there'd be no one down there if it was freezing cold on that Sunday. The only thing that drags people to Superbikes is that good weather riding down on that Sunday. And that's fact.
Well, that's true because everyone rides as well. It's a great point.
Yeah.
Funny, like it, I know you're trying to be funny at the same time. Actually a great point.
I'm serious for a second. There is the reason why that is important is because everyone rides down and it's a pilgrimage, you know.
It is. At D Silver 87S, I think he's from Ohio.
Yeah.
Grayson.
No, he's from Saskatchewan, Prince George. Saskatchewan. Go on. Saskatchewan's in Canada, actually, in near
Saskatchewan. I don't know if that's the right pronunciation.
It is. Fact check me. Saskatchewan. Go on.
Curdy ain't gonna do that.
Nah, Curdy's just new his anime or something. I don't know.
Fair is. At the Silver 87S, Mark Marquez dominating past his prime shows how good Jorge Lorenzo was beating him in his prime.
Yeah, it's a great point. We don't talk about that. Well, we actually had. We talked about that a lot last year.
Great point.
Cheeseburger.
Yep.
But we've gone off him a bit this year.
Remember, Lorenzo is the only person to beat Mark Marquez fair and square in a title fight. Think of that.
2015.
Yep. Controversial year. And I feel sorry for Jorge because it's overshadowed by the dumb incidents.
Yeah.
And no one thinks it, like everyone forgets Jorge's 2015 year, but he won that fair and square. Mark Marquez threw the bike down the road way too many times that year. Didn't have to. And Jorge Lorenzo picked up the pieces and won fair and square.
What's amazing about that is Marquez's third year on a MotoGP bike normally is like prime.
Yeah.
And he, you're right. He threw it down the road. I rewatched that race.
Valencia?
Malaysia.
Oh, yeah.
It's so interesting looking at that race because you had Lorenzo out in front, then you had Pedrosa second, and then it was a battle for third between Marquez and Rossi. And a lot of people do forget that. Like, it wasn't a battle for the league.
Nah, it
wasn't. They weren't fighting for the championship. It was Rossi was fighting the championship with Lorenzo. So, and look, I knew that. Everyone pretty much knows that. But there'd be some fans out there would think, oh, they kicked him off for the championship. It wasn't like that at all. And what they did for those few laps was unbelievable racing.
Amazing.
Like, insane. Like, that battle. And it just got too hot, didn't it? It really did. I don't know what happened in the end. No one's going to know if it was what happened. Like, we speculate. But it was a very unusual incident. And anyway, we could talk about this for hours.
Yeah, I've spoken about it too much.
Here we have.
But going back to it, Jorge Lorenzo.
Yes. Like, just, we even talk about the key incident.
See, we just overshadowed it again.
Overshadowed him.
People are too quick to forget on that.
Yeah. Great hot take.
And actually unfortunate on Cheeseburger.
Yeah.
At underscore Jed10, Marquez to lap Raul at Coda.
Raul Fernandez, yeah. He's
more not, chance of Chantra.
Yeah, more chance of Chantra, I think. I think Chantra going to that circuit, oh God, I don't know how he's going to go. That's going to be a scary thought. Because it's a tough circuit. It's a tough circuit.
What did you say? Sometimes you can't even get a lap right there.
Yeah,
the whole weekend.
I don't think anyone's gone, oh, I've had a perfect lap at Coda.
I'd say Marquez and that's it.
Well, no, I'm going to say he probably could still think in the back of his mind, oh, I could have turned in quicker on there. I could have gone out wider there. Like, it is it's the longest track on the calendar.
Yeah, I can Chantra might get lost halfway through the race, take a wrong turn, end up in downtown Austin.
maybe. Like Kimi Raikkonen in Brazil all those years ago, when he always went out to the car park in his Formula 1.
No way.
Yeah, have you seen that? Nah. It's hilarious. He ran wide, thought, oh, I reckon I can get back through to the thing. He was like out the car park.
Imagine like you're eating a hot dog with your dad and you see a Formula 1 car go past with Kimi Raikkonen. Was that when they were like the V8s or V10s?
Yeah.
So I mean, super loud.
Dude, he had to do a 2.3-point turn around, come back to where he was and then come back. He lost like a minute.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Yeah.
Cuts of footage of Kimi Raikkonen stuck in the car park during the race is the most ridiculous thing ever. Add Bitchell Munting. Ollie Bearman is the best rookie. If he was in a better car, he would be up at the pointy end.
Yeah, jumped on his back quickly. I think we're going to have to give a few more rounds for me to give my answer on that, because
double points last year, Ferrari.
Oh, no, yeah, 100%. But let's just wait and see. He was a bit arrogant on the radio with his chow comments.
Go on.
Oh, like you're passing Carlos Sainz, you're going chow, like see ya.
I like it.
Yeah. Keep your cats in the bag, I think.
Personality.
Yeah. Tall poppy. Don't give me too much. Just pass him. Be a bit more humble, I think.
Interesting.
I yeah, just, nah. Anyway, he actually regretted at the end of the race. He had an interview. He goes, oh, what am I doing? That was so silly.
Okay, well, that's good then.
Yeah.
So I don't mind it.
Yeah. Go.
I don't mind it at all. At Semmel Grams. Nice to meet you guys at Superbikes. Top Raptor Honda MotoGP. Bet my left nut on it.
There's reports coming out with that.
Nice to meet you as well. I remember you. I think this man was from like... Oh, I think it was Portuguese. Nice guy. He's OG as well. He's OG fan.
Yeah.
If I'm wrong, I'm sorry about that.
So the report is that the Superbike Championship finishes and there's three rounds of MotoGP left and Honda are going to have enough wildcard entries for him to do three rounds. So that's the report coming out from strong sources. But we'll see what comes to that.
Is that a waste of development time, putting him on that bike for three rounds where, you know, is he going to help? They need to develop that bike.
Yeah.
Is it a waste?
Who's their test riders?
Stefan Bradl and Aleix Espargaró.
Is it still Stefan Bradl? I thought he retired.
No, it's Aleix Espargaró and Nakagami.
Yeah. No, then the answer is no. All right.
Nah.
Aleix Espargaró, I think having him three rounds on the bike is probably going to be a... it depends on how they go. Oh, it doesn't really, does it? Because, you know, they're not going to be race-winning bikes. So, if you haven't got a race-winning bike, there's no sense of doing that. It'd be more like... Yeah, it'd be better if it was like a top team, but then you don't have the concessions, so...
Mm. I think it's cool, and I hope they do it, but I think it's wasting development time.
Jesus, funny.
But it might be might be a good maybe they're using that as a tester to bring him in. See you later, Marini.
Yeah. The last three rounds of the season are,
I don't know, bro. Valencia,
Sepang,
Sepang, maybe Indonesia.
Yeah,
I assume for the sake of assumption.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, where Sepang is a really good test circuit.
Yeah.
But you know, then again, like you had Bautista on the bike last year.
Go on.
And for a couple of rounds, or was that the year before?
Nah, he's on a Ducati.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, they arguably Ducati could have used that time for.
Yeah, different.
But they were leading. Yeah, 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 yeah. Tough one to.
It's a hard one.
I'm trying to argue with you. Yeah, but there's no real argument. Nah. I really want to see it.
Yeah.
And 2 years ago, we'd be like, oh yeah, that's sick. Let's do it.
Yeah.
But now you look at, God, we really want this team and the manufacturer to do well. You have to look at the bigger picture now.
Well, we have to. Otherwise, Honda's going to bar us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Story for another day. Maybe for our Patreon. Mm. At Nikki D 3604. If the season keeps going like this, we'll see a wall in the Ducati garage by Mugello. I disagree.
I was going to ask this question at the press conference if we had the opportunity.
Yeah.
So,
we did have the opportunity, but we ended up going back into the pool for beers.
So, short story, we were in the press conference in Thailand and I was getting ready to ask my question and they were getting, like, it was an hour and a half wait or something for them to come in. So, but I wanted to know, I said, if you know, and they wouldn't have answered the question, but do you see the guys, just the team just splitting into two like the Lorenzo and Rossi days? Obviously, they would have said no and it would have been a laugh and whatever. But I'm seeing it now. Like, it's like even Tardozzi, like he gets so excited and animated and, you know, they're so pro Marquez already. They love him and it's just, it's the support's happened so quickly. You know, it's human nature. You're going to start favoring one side. So
yeah, but I don't think Bagnaia is the type of person to enforce that. I don't think it's not in his nature. He's cool, calm, collected.
Yeah, he's not like the hot-headed Rossi Lorenzo style of person. And Marquez, to a certain extent, it's not like that either.
Nah, and we spoke about this last week. You know, Tardozzi is on the level of Marquez where he's partying, going crazy. But Bagnaia is not like that anyway.
Yeah.
He's a bit more, you know, mellow.
Yeah.
That's all it is. So I don't think there's going to be a wall at all.
Okay.
Period.
Yeah, we'll see.
Allegedly.
Hopefully.
Matt Stevens. We've kind of covered it, but I'll say it anyway. Liam Lawson wasn't always this shit. There is something seriously wrong with that second Red Bull. Which I think it's just a team environment.
It's the car. It's the car. The car's too much set up for Max's driver driving style, and no one else has his driving style.
That's called the Repsol Honda. We should trademark this, the Repsol Honda effect.
Yeah.
Learn from them, because if Verstappen goes, it's literally, we've just watched what happens.
Yeah. But then again, like, you got to look at it. Is Max so good that he's driving around the car?
That's what Marquez is doing.
So there's always two ways of looking at that.
Well, this is still the Repsol Honda effect.
It still fits into that the regime.
I don't know why you're bringing up Xi Jinping.
Well, we're in Rome, you know.
How good was the Aussie national anthem through all of China, though?
It was good.
They wouldn't have even known what that was.
It was good.
It's Australia.
I know. Yeah. It was like, it was really interesting. Kim Illman, who's a YouTuber, photographer.
Our boy.
He was doing a YouTube video and everyone knew him when he was walking the circuit. He goes, how does everyone know me? YouTube's banned in China.
Yeah, true.
He goes, oh, they must be all using a VPN.
Of course. You want to know something funny as well? For my work, I can see stats of like browsers on how they go onto our website. And one of the main ones is Yandex.
Okay.
And Yandex is the Russian Google, and I sometimes use it.
Ah.
And it's, if you want to filter out a lot of the bullshit, you go to the Russian Google and it'll tell you.
Shit, I've never heard of that.
Yeah, Yandex.
God, you've been down some rabbit holes in the past, haven't you? Oh, goodness gracious.
You don't want to know. You don't want to know what I've seen.
Get that safe search. I need to get that safe search off. My goodness.
The last thing I...
Are you sure you want to say this?
It had to do with Tom Hanks and a lot of alleged things.
Oh, Jesus.
That was on Yandex. Found it all. Anyway, at Jared.Madsen.
Jazza. Sorry about giving you COVID, Mop.
He laughs.
What's he said?
He said, thanks for giving me COVID. Russell has stepped up a level in the absence of Lewis as a new team leader.
You know what? He's been consistent in the three races we've had so far, including a sprint, of course. Mm-hmm. He's been really consistent. And, the dude's got talent. He's just, he's a hard pill to swallow sometimes, how he acts in the media and stuff. So, but he's got talent. And
he's doing well this season.
Yeah. It's going to be so topsy-turvy this season. We're going to have McLaren tracks. We're going to have Mercedes tracks. We're going to have Ferrari tracks. You know, it is going to be a really interesting one. But I think as the cloud disappears, the McLaren is still faster than everything else on average each weekend.
But he's doing good. He's doing enough.
Yeah. He's doing enough. Definitely.
That jacket he was wearing wasn't enough, though.
Looks like he was going to the moon.
Yeah, I don't know about that one. I'm not too sure on him, mate.
Very 70s. Very 70s.
That's not even 70s, mate. Don't even don't do that to James Hunt.
Yeah, true.
He wouldn't be wearing that.
No, God no.
Our boy reigning number one ticket holder. It's called Papa.
Oh yeah, go on.
Pups. Tom said Liam Lawson would obliterate Yuki in 2025. Are we standing on that?
Yeah.
He's calling you out, bro.
Yeah, he called me out. And I've got no argument on that, Paps. You've got me good there. I didn't see this happening. I really didn't. I thought that Lawson had that raw pace, that raw talent in any car he drives. And what I saw in Zandvoort in his first race when he was put into a qualifying session on slicks and it was raining and he put a time in, you know, when he spent hardly any time on the track. This was after Ricciardo broke his hand. Oh, this kid has got talent. Like, it's one of the hardest things you can possibly do in Formula One racing is going out on a wet track on slicks in a qualifying session when you've had no practice. I mean, name a harder thing.
Mm.
Like, name a harder thing to do.
It adds to my argument of how you can't just go, shit, and we had a hot take overnight. Yeah. It doesn't make sense. Yeah, whether it's a car, whatever.
And you know what? By the time this podcast is out in about 6 hours' time, there might be some more news out. We don't know.
It normally is.
But I don't think so. I think they'll stick with Lawson for another few races yet. And
breaking news, Colapinto in, Lawson out, Sonoda to Red Bull, Colapinto to Toro Rosso.
I'll eat that helmet on live TV if that happens.
Do that, bro. Don't say it.
It's not gonna happen.
That's it.
Well, thanks everyone. Appreciate it. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, you will. See you after Coda.
It's always a hard one, Coda, because you have to try to watch all three races at 6 a.m. in the morning. So if we're like half dead next week and tired, you can blame it on the time, Australian Eastern State Daylight Savings Time.
Yeah. I'm already saying this now. Congratulations, Mark Marquez, for winning.
Yeah.
Pole, sprint race, and main race. Unbelievable effort. Yeah. Second and third, you did an amazing job.
Yeah.
Again, congratulations to Mark Marquez. We'll see you after Coda.
See you after Coda.